the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into this Monday edition of Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here with you for another hour of Preds talk. 10 days away from opening night as the Preds will host the Columbus Blue Jackets next Thursday night in the regular season opener to kick off the 2021 season, which will be played in 56 games, and the Preds open with a two-game homestand against the Columbus Blue Jackets, and then two more games against the Carolina Hurricanes. The season is in segments of two games against a total of seven opponents within the new-look Central Division. Can't wait to get it started again. 10 days away coming up next Thursday. Joining me here in studio tonight for Preds Insiders is my good buddy Robbie Stanley, co-host of Robbie and Rex Road and also NHL.com. Robbie, how we doing?
Porth, I'm doing well. It's good to have some actual hockey to talk about and to look forward to and to have it actually tangibly right around the corner. I'm excited.
You know how awesome it is to not have to discuss, all right, when is the season going to start? What will the schedule look like? We have a schedule. We have a date. January 14th, 10 days away.
It's awesome. I've missed it. I really have. Like, just think about the amount of Preds hockey we've actually got to physically see in the last 9 months. It's like a week stretch in August. That's it. That's all we've had. And to have actual games coming back, thank God, we're all ready for them.
It was like four games in 7 days.
Yeah.
And then poof, it was over.
Yeah. It seems like forever ago.
So since March 11th, when sports as a whole came to a screeching halt, until January 14th, we're talking 10 months, Preds would have played four games.
That's a drought, as they say.
It is 1,000% a drought. So Preds training camp officially beginning today at Bridgestone Arena. Luke Cunningham was not on the ice for practice because he's still a restricted free agent. So he will not be practicing with the team until he gets a new contract. Let's start there just real quick. Any concern on that front for you that they've had Luke Cunningham in their organization since early October, and he is still unsigned as an RFA?
I would say there's some concern. I'm not overly worried about it. I don't know if I was a Predators fan, I would be overly worried about it at this point. You know, we see it happen in negotiations all the time. Sometimes it's posturing. Sometimes you're just trying to get a longer-term deal. I would imagine, without having any insight into directly what's going on, I would imagine Cunningham's side wants a longer-term deal, and the Predators are, hey, man, you got to prove it to us. We have to see what you bring into the table before you give that longer-term deal. So I think something will get done. I think ultimately you'll come to an agreement with both sides, so I'm not overly concerned about it. But it is strange from the standpoint of you've had a few months now to get this done. Obviously, the Predators thought a lot about Luke Cunningham because you trade to get him. So that standpoint is a little odd, but I'm not just sitting here thinking like, oh, Luke Cunningham's not going to be a part of the plans this year. I think they'll reach a deal. I think it'll get done. I'm not overly concerned about it up until this point.
Also not on the ice today for today's practice, Eric Halla, Mikael Granlund, Matt Duchene, Matthias Ekholm, Connor Ingram. So looks like it wasn't a full practice, or I should say a full group for practice earlier today. So we'll keep an eye on all of that moving forward. Now, yesterday, Robbie, we did hear from some of the key members of the Nashville Predators in the opening press conferences of training camp. David Poile spoke, John Hines spoke, but I do want to spend some time here this evening discussing what some of the players said. And I thought it was important to hear from the players on the opening of training camp, where a lot of the key members of this team faced a lot of pressure from the fan base and from the media, and probably themselves, after what was a really disappointing showing in the qualifying round against the Arizona Coyotes, where they get put out in four games. And one of those players that has had his ups and his downs in the last couple seasons is Ryan Ellis. Ryan Ellis, I thought last regular season, was really stinking good. Yep. After being really stinking bad against the Dallas Stars in the playoffs back in the spring of 2019. And I thought he had some interesting comments yesterday. Let's hear what Ryan Ellis had to say to open his media availability.
Yeah, there's obviously it's a different season. There's a lot of adjustments involved. And I think this lines up well for us. We got a new team. We're all adjusting on the fly. A lot of new additions that we're very excited about. And I think we have a point to prove to ourselves and as well as everyone else out there that we're still a team that can compete. And I think with the additions and the guys that have been here for a number of years, I think we have a team that has a chance to do something special. But I think day one, going forward, we have to focus on getting better every day. I think we've taken a step back the last year and a bit, and I think we have a chance to improve every day, and I think that should be our main goal.
That was Ryan Ellis yesterday to the media as training camp officially opened. They hit the ice earlier today. So you hear what Ryan Ellis had to say there, where they feel like they have something to prove. He also said yesterday that they feel like they want to be seen again as one of the top teams in the NHL and not be outworked. They want to be the ones outworking the opponents. And I thought that was really interesting to hear him say that because I feel like that's kind of been the elephant in the room with this Preds team over the last couple of years where, yes, they have a lot of talent, but in past years, the Preds have been greater than the sum of their parts. Last season and the season prior, they were lesser, than the sum of their parts. I was really, considering that, I was really interested to hear what Ellis had to say there.
Yeah, I was too. That stood out to me. That's one of those, look, in the world today, especially in hockey, there are a lot of press conferences that come and go, and not a whole lot gets said. Like, I get it. A lot of players are trying to say as much as they can say without really any substance to it. That's just the easy way to deal with the media. But that was one of those ones where you're listening to it, and your head just kind of turns. Your eyebrows raise a little bit, and you think, oh, okay. I think we all know that. I think we've talked about it in terms of it's looked like the work ethic has not been there consistently enough. And you think back to last season when John Hines came into the fold, the mentality that he kept talking about, to me, that translated to work ethic. Like, I think that's really what he was driving at. And he talked about that a few times last year, especially early when he got here and took over as head coach. And that was a theme. And it's interesting because you're right. Like, you think back through the history of this franchise, and they've always been the team that has outworked the opposition. And that's been out of necessity. I mean, if they haven't, largely, especially early on, I mean, they would just get their doors blown off. When you have more talent come in and when you have more success with that talent, people get contracts, there's comfortability that sets in, and maybe it's not even consciously. I do think you have a tendency at that point to say, you know what, we've been here for a while, we've had this group together for a while, we know how each other play, we know how good we can be. Maybe complacency sets in at some point, and I do think we've seen examples of that over the past couple of years. So it was refreshing to hear Ellis say that because I think it's obvious, and you heard it from the outset of this offseason with David Poile and John Hines when they ended last season after the qualifying round. That was what they talked about. I mean, you got to get back to an identity. You got to get back to playing the Predator way. And it's very clear based on the messaging that we've heard, not only from those two, but from the players yesterday, that has been talked about a lot in the offseason. And that has been a point of emphasis from management all the way down of returning to playing hard. I mean, that's been something that was brought up repeatedly. So I think it's obvious if you've watched them play a lot over the last few years. I was glad Ellis says it, and he's exactly right. I mean, they're going to have to outwork teams this year if they're going to have any modicum of success.
And Ryan Ellis wasn't the only one who brought this up yesterday. Here's what Roman Josi had to say about the team's identity.
I mean, by hard work, it's pretty simple. I think we want to be known as a team that that's one of the hardest working teams in the league. And I think the Preds have always been known for that. And I think we kind of got away from that a little bit with our identity the last couple of years. And I think that's got to be our main goal to get back to that. And I think it starts in camp. It starts in practices, just working hard and being the hardest working team. And that'll carry over to games.
That was Roman Josi yesterday to the media. It's great to hear Ellis and Josi say this. Obviously, 100%, you have to see it before you completely buy in, especially because we've heard everything that we want to hear from the players a lot in the last couple seasons, and it hasn't translated from their words to the actions on the ice. But the fact that they did go through a pretty big roster overhaul, I have to think was a little bit of a wake-up call to the rest of the players who remained on the roster. I would have to think the fact that they got put out by Arizona and then Arizona gets shellacked by Colorado in the next round. And you also think about how they struggled most of last regular season. They got their coach fired. I have to think that all of this, I would hope that all of this would be a wake-up call and that maybe now they're starting to get it in terms of the message that they put out there yesterday.
Well, if not, you got a big problem.
Yeah.
Because I think even aside from that, the trajectory of just watching the results should be a big wake-up call for this group. So you factor it in with, yeah, things have not been going well the last couple of years. You've been trending in the wrong direction. And then you look at the roster overhaul. To me, if I'm a player, especially a core player here that's been here for a while, that figures to be a part of the plans moving forward, I know heading into this year, if things don't go well, David Poile's going to change it up. Like, he's not coming back with the same core group next year if it doesn't work. I mean, it's just harder and harder to sell at that point. So there has been a shakeup. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are gone. There's not really anybody gone that I would consider a core member of this team. I don't think that'll be the case next year if this doesn't work out, if things don't go well this year. I think somebody will be out. So I don't know who it's going to be. But to me, that's a wake-up call in itself if I'm a player still on this team. So I agree. I think the play itself should be enough of a motivation factor. But if it's not, number one, you got a problem. But number two, certainly the ability that David Poile has shown to move things around, to switch things up this offseason, I think certainly got their attention. I think it's going to be something that they talk about internally amongst themselves. They'll never admit it in the media. But I do think there should be a different attitude and a different energy about this group this year. And if you don't see it, that to be where I'm, if I'm a fan, I'm really concerned about this group.
Well, and yesterday, a key question that came from it for me was, all right, we talk a lot about the depth chart, a lot about maybe stylistically with X's and O's and the depth chart and the fact that they lost a lot of offense and they're bringing back a lot of unproven offense, lesser now with the re-addition of Mikael Granlund and also signing Eric Halla out of free agency. But is it as simple as them getting back to the work ethic that we know that they have in them because they displayed a consistent and great work ethic, tireless work ethic for a number of years before the last probably season and a half? Could it be just as simple as that?
I mean, it's got to be. And it's got to be your big guns leading the way on that front. I mean, that's to me what all of these moves were designed to do. Like, I don't think David Poile looked at this roster and said, all right, I know we've got talent. I know that there on paper is an ability to put the puck in the back of the net. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and just sign a bunch of guys that can't score. Like, I don't think that was the mentality.
I mean, look, when you look at the roster on paper last season, it was one of the most talented groups of Nashville Predators players we've ever seen, and it was also the most disappointing.
You can make an argument it was the most talented group that they've ever seen on paper. And obviously we know it didn't work out, and obviously games are not won on paper. But I think the moves of the offseason of bringing in Cousins, bringing in Brad Richardson, bringing in Mark Borowiecki, who Ellis just glowed about yesterday in his comments, kind of bringing an element that they haven't had. Yes, in part, it's changing the identity, and you bring in physicality, and you bring in kind of that grit, and that's important. I don't think the Predators have had enough of that. I think it's also about seeing that from other guys. Maybe that unlocks that out of your star players. That's what we need. I mean, if you're sitting here looking at it, if you're a Predators fan, that's what you need to have. I mean, you look at Roman Josi. You look at Ryan Ellis, I thought they were outstanding last year. I thought they played really well, and largely they brought the same level of consistent play and work ethic, I thought, on a nightly basis. That just wasn't the case throughout most of the lineup. So as big of a deal as I think it was for David Poile to bring in these pieces that have the grit and that have that physicality and to be quote-unquote tougher to play against that they've talked about a lot since then, I think it's just as much trying to unlock that out of your big guys because they know it. They're not going anywhere if their star players don't carry them. That's going to have to be the case. And in order for the star players to carry them, you got to see that work ethic more consistently.
Speaking of the big guns, speaking of the star players, we heard from Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi earlier this segment. What are our expectations for Josi and Ellis going into this season, being the Preds' top defense pair? Huge season last year for the tandem, Josi winning the Norris. What do we expect out of them coming up this year? We'll get to that next. Plus, where did Roman Josi rank in the NHL Network's countdown of the top players around the league? Well, that's all coming up next on Preds Insiders ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Preds Insiders brought to you every Monday at 6 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, brought by Dr. Kelly Rice for all your dental and sleep apnea needs. Visit KellyERice.com. Ryan Porth in studio this evening with Robbie Stanley of Robbie and Rex Road, weekday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and NHL.com. Robbie, we heard from Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis last segment talking about the fact that this team needs to get back to a better work ethic, be harder to play against, and be the ones outworking teams and not getting outworked. And Josi and Ellis last year had a fantastic season as a tandem, even though the team as a whole was a disappointment. One thing that you could count on every single night almost was Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis bringing their A game. So for you, Robbie, what would be your expectations for Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis this season? Do you think they can repeat their performance where Josi wins a Norris and Ellis was rock solid, or were they so good last season that it's going to be hard for them to replicate that?
I think it's going to be hard. I do. I think it's going to be difficult to replicate. Now, I'm not saying that I'm expecting this gigantic drop-off from Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi. I still think they're going to be very, very good. But I think, again, with the season the Predators had last year, sometimes I don't think you appreciate what you're watching at the time, given the team's success or lack thereof. Roman Josi was an absolute stud last year, and I get it. He won the Norris Trophy. He got the credit for it. He was amazing. I've watched a lot of really good defensemen come through here. Shea Weber, PK Subban, Ryan Suter. I mean, go up and down the list. I've never seen anybody approach what Roman Josi did last year, what he was able to do. I mean, he was just outstanding, really, in every aspect of the game. So I think he's going to be great this year. If he stays healthy, I think he's going to be fantastic. I think Ryan Ellis was healthy last year. That was a big part of it. I think it's why you saw him play as well as he did. I think he's going to be great, too. I don't know that they're going to be as statistically dominant as they were a season ago. I think they'll be close, but I don't know if it's going to be quite the same. So that's going to require your other defensemen, like Fabbro, to take another step. Ekholm, to get back to playing like he was with PK Subban, which I think Fabbro has a lot to do with. If he takes that next step, I think you'll see it out of Ekholm. That's going to require Borowiecki and Benning, if they're the third pairing, to really play well as well. So I like it. I think the pieces are there. I've said many times, I think the six that they're going to trot out this year on defense, I like that six as much as I've liked their defense corps in a long time, because I think the third pairing is going to be better. I like the element that Borowiecki brings. I think Matt Benning moves the puck pretty well, especially for a third pairing defenseman. So I like their defense. I like what I'm going to see out there. I think expecting Roman Josi to play exactly like he played last year may be, I'm not going to say unrealistic, but I think it could be a challenge just given how dominant he was last year. So what you can have is a huge drop-off. I don't expect you'll see that from Ellis and Josi. I think they're going to be very good. You'll see them be among the top pairings in the NHL once again. And if they're able to do that, defend a little bit better in the box as far as a team is concerned, I think defensively they're going to be really, really good. That'll help out their goaltenders. But individually, those two guys were on a different planet than the rest of the team last year. I don't know if that'll be the case again this year.
Well, if that new third pairing of Borowiecki and Benning is as solid as we think it will be, that will take less pressure off Josi and Ellis to be so good every single night, almost every single shift, because the third pair has been so bad in the last couple seasons and so unreliable, where especially in big games, you're having to ride your top two pairings a ton and basically, you know, give them extra minutes because the third pairing can't hold their own weight. So if Borowiecki and Benning can at least be league average on the third pair and give you what you think you're going to get, then I think that does ease the pressure from Yossi and Ellis. I think from a production standpoint, I don't think Yossi is going to fully replicate what he did last season, because Peter Laviolette's system catered more for the defenseman to carry the puck through the zone and control the offense more than what John Hines, I think, is wanting to accomplish with the kind of system he's trying to run. So I do think Yossi is going to be less involved from a puck handling standpoint from East Coast to West Coast.
Yep.
Not to say that he won't be productive. He just probably won't be dominating the possession like he has in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're not sitting here saying Roman Yossi is just going to fall off. He's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think he's proven enough at this career, like, you know what you're going to get out of Roman Yossi. He's going to be fantastic every night. I think that's a great point about the system. I think it was noticeable last year, especially a couple weeks in after they really got going under Hines' system. Way too many times under Laviolette, I thought they were guilty of the defenseman having too much responsibility and carrying the puck up the ice. Roman Yossi, obviously very good at that, and you want him to do that on occasion. But you want to get the puck up to your forwards as quickly as possible and attack with speed through the neutral zone that way. I thought they get better at that under Hines' system. I'm interested to see how much better they are this year with a training camp to work through, more and more games to get practice with as you're going through the season. But I agree. I think that will slow down his production from an offensive standpoint somewhat. I mean, he's still going to put up points. He's still going to be dangerous. Hopefully, they're all more dangerous on the power play this year. You need to have that coming in. That's got to be a strength for this team this year, is the power play. And I think Yossi's a big part of that. But I do think it's hard from a points per game standpoint to really expect Yossi to exactly replicate what he did a year ago.
And I do wonder if that system that we're talking about is the reason why Mikael Granlund and Kyle Turris did not work out under Laviolette.
Yeah.
Because those are two players that do like to possess the puck, and they're more playmakers for the positions that they play. Turris is more of a shooter than Granlund, but for being a center, Turris is probably more of a playmaker than your average center trying to set up line mates. And when they aren't possessing the puck through the zone as much as your defenseman, then that may be where those two individuals under Peter Laviolette were more of a square peg and round hole.
I agree. And I think that's a big reason why I think you saw an uptick in Granlund's production immediately after the coaching change was made. Like, I don't think it was just this, oh my God, I'm so glad Peter Laviolette's gone. Now I can get out there and play. I think the system just tailored it to him a little bit more. There was more opportunity. He got around the net a little bit more. He had the puck on his stick more coming into the zone. You saw Turris play better. So I do think that there is something to that. I think you'll see that this year. In the grand scheme of things, I think that's the direction that they want to go with this group. They want to get the puck in their hands more, the top forwards, and let them create, let them get in the zone, possess the puck, get zone time. And how many times last year, especially early on, was it a one and done? Like, you're coming in, you're on the rush, whether it's Yossi or Ekholm, whoever's leading the rush down the ice, you get one shot on the rush and then you're back to playing defense. Like, that can't happen. You've got to wear the opponent down. They didn't do that a lot last year. That's got to be better this year.
So real quick before we move on to the Jofa line, NHL.com and NHL Network released their top 50 players up through number 11. So they are still going to be releasing 1 through 10. Roman Yossi cracks the top 20 and is at 13 on the NHL Network's list of top 50 players in the league as we enter this season. Here's the company that he is residing next to on this list. Patrick Kane at 11. I still feel like Patrick Kane's a top 10 player in this league.
He's pretty good.
Brad Marchand at 12, Yossi at 13, John Carlson ranked too high at 14, Jack Eichel at 15, Patrice Bergeron 16, Andre Vasilevsky at 17, Evgeny Malkin at 18, Braden Point 19, Tuukka Rask at 20. How is Braden Point ranked below John Carlson?
That's a great question.
Braden Point is a phenomenal player. Braden Point is a top 15 player in this league. John Carlson is not.
No, I would agree with that. I think that's... Look, I can make an argument that Yossi is better than Brad Marchand, too. Like, I get it. He's really good. But, you know, Marchand at 12, like Patrick Kane at 11, I get it. These lists are really hard, and they sound like there's always going to be one or two that are just an absolute travesty. They get left out of the top 10. Patrick Kane's still pretty good. Still probably a top 10 player in the league. So that's good company for Yosi to be around. Obviously, you're talking about some of the elite players in the game right there, but I agree. I think there's this illusion that John Carlson and Roman Yosi are like these comparable players. You look at the numbers, they're really not. Like, Roman Yosi is better in pretty much every category. I know Carlson had more points. Also, it doesn't hurt when you're just sliding the puck over to Alex Ovechkin and he's teeing off on it. But I don't think that they're really close. Like, if I'm starting a team and defense is my option, no disrespect to John Carlson, but he's not in the same ballpark as Yosi, in my opinion.
Coming up next, the Jofa line. There's a lot of pressure on them this season to produce at a high level. Ryan Johansson had some interesting comments about that coming up next that you will hear. Robbie Stanley alongside me, Ryan Porth on Preds Insiders. We'll continue next on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into the show on this Monday evening. Preds Insiders, Ryan Porth and Robbie Stanley here with you, talking all things Preds, 10 days away from opening night between the Nashville Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Can't wait. Hockey is finally here around the corner as they hit the ice today for the first time for training camp. And the Preds also spoke with the media yesterday for the official start of training camp for this quirky 2021 NHL season. And one of the things that you brought up last week at thegamenashville.com, Robbie, was the importance of the Jofa line plus Matt Duchene and the pressure on those four forwards to live up to their potential this season, but specifically the Jofa line, where they were broken up for most of last regular season. We were kind of wondering why they were broken up last regular season, especially with how inconsistent that offense was. They were put back together in the qualifying round against Arizona, and you could tell instantly that they still had the chemistry. And listening to both Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg yesterday, it sounds pretty obvious to me that they want to be together again. And you, Robbie, asked Ryan Johansson about that line specifically and how important they are to the offense. Here's your question, and here's what Ryan Johansson had to say.
Obviously, I know that you and Philip and Victor, you'll play wherever the coaches want you to play, but how important is it for you guys to play together to start with this year and prove that what we saw in the play-in round against Arizona and how high of a level you guys were playing at is what you guys are and what you guys can continue to be moving ahead here?
Yeah, I think the three of us like setting the tone. We love playing together. We have a lot of trust and belief in one another, and have done really well as a line and had lots of success. So I think the three of us, not sure the plan, and obviously whatever the plan is, we do our thing, go out there and be our best. But I think the three of us all would agree we'd love to start out the season together and kind of set the bar for our team and set the tone and then go out and do our thing and try and help our team be as successful as possible.
That was Ryan Johansson yesterday on the opening day of training camp, speaking with the media. And Robbie, interesting words there, setting the bar, setting the tone for this Nashville Predators team and the offense. When the Jofa line hasn't been together in the last couple of years, there really hasn't been a line setting the bar or setting the tone for this entire team. It's almost been like, all right, one line looking at the other saying, okay, who's going to step up tonight?
Right.
Where when the Jofa line's together, you know they're going to step up and, in Ryan Johansson's words, set the tone. Thought those were some interesting words from him yesterday.
Well, I thought they were too, and I think kind of the most interesting part is how, I guess, bullish and open they were with the media of, yeah, we'd like to play together. Like, I think you saw that a little bit last year coming into the play-in round against Arizona. I do think it's important to see what those guys have right from the jump. Like, we just penciled it in that they're going to start the Jofa line together this year. I think that'll be the way they go about doing things, and I think it makes sense. But to hear them come out and say it like that, like, yeah, we would love to start together. Forsberg talked about, yes, we'd love to play together. That's what we want to do to start off the season here. I think that just kind of shows what mindset they're in. They know it. I mean, we had Philip Forsberg on Robbie and Rex Road a couple weeks ago just talking about all four of those guys, and I'll put Duchene in the mix too. They know wasn't good enough last year, and there are different factors at play. Like Arvidsson, I think, was hurt for most of the regular season. You saw what a fully healthy Victor Arvidsson looks like in Arizona. He was playing at a different speed than he was at any point in the regular season last year. That's important, that he comes back in and that he's healthy and that he's ready to go. But for them to come out and say it that way, I think that's important. And setting the tone is a good phrase. I mean, that's what you need from not only that line, but I'll even put it specifically on Ryan Johansson. You need him to be the one setting the tone. He's the centerman. He's the one that's going to have the puck on his stick the most. He's the one in charge of driving the offense. I'll never forget, right after he signed his 8-year deal, that's the plural word buzzword that he kept using, is he's the driver of our offense. And he wasn't that last year, not anywhere near enough. He got back to that in the play-in round. He's got to be that. I mean, to me, setting the tone begins and ends with Ryan Johansson. He's got to be the one that takes that responsibility on. So to hear him say that yesterday, I think if you're a Predators fan, is very encouraging. Now, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to go out there and do it. That's going to obviously be the next step. But to me, it just kind of feels like, and it has for a few months now, that those three guys have a chip on their shoulder. We'll see if Matt Duchene does as well. But that's important, because if this team is going to be successful at all, they're going to have monster seasons. Maybe not career highs, but they're going to have monster seasons.
I don't really see a scenario where they wouldn't start the season together.
No.
I mean, you've got 10 days of training camp, and you're not practicing every single day in those 10 days. You've got basically a half or a third of the training camp that you usually do before a regular season. You don't have any true preseason games against other teams. The first time you're facing off against another team is next Thursday against Columbus, and it counts.
Yep.
I think you absolutely have to have the Joe line together, and we all know that those three together are all better individually because they're on the same line together. And when they aren't on the same line together, Forsberg doesn't look the same. Johansson certainly doesn't look the same.
Yep.
And this is not a knock on Arvidsson, but I feel like Arvidsson is a smidge more of a product of Johansson and Forsberg because of what those two collectively can do. And then Arvidsson kind of piggybacks off that and is very productive alongside those two. I just don't really see a scenario, especially with how productive they were in August, where John Hines opens this season without the Joe Faline together.
I would agree. Like, I do think that there is something, and especially like going into camp last year, I think it was fascinating to see the way that they did it and that they deployed him, because I do think in a perfect world, you would like to spread it out a little bit more. Like, I think you'd like to have Forsberg playing with Duchene. I think you'd like to have Arvidsson staying up with Johansson and maybe not seeing a huge drop-off when you do that. But the fact is, you just see a huge drop-off when you do that. So, look, it's no secret. I mean, those three guys complement each other really well. I mean, Johansson is such a gifted passer. Forsberg is the power forward who I think needs to add that part to his game a little bit more. But obviously, we know what he does. We know how gifted he is, the skill that he has, the goal-scoring ability. And Arvidsson, when he's healthy, his speed is an absolute weapon. I mean, those three complement each other really well. So I agree. Like, I don't envision a scenario outside of COVID or injury where they're not starting the season together.
Yeah.
I think really at this point, given the training camp situation, you'd almost be insane to try it. Like, just roll with it. See how it goes early on in the season. If you have to adjust from there, then you do it. But it's all about familiarity, especially in a time like this when you haven't played a whole lot of hockey together lately. You got to go back with what works. If I watched that play-in series against Arizona, I don't know how you couldn't start those three together. I think you have to.
I mean, they were really the only line out there
consistently
in those four games that was any threat offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, some other lines, the Smith, Bonino, Grimaldi line was effective for a lot of the time, but were they really ever a threat to score on a consistent basis? They had a lot of possession time in the offensive zone, but it's not like they were having all these different chances.
Right.
At the end of the day, the Joffe line is the straw that stirs the drink offensively, and if you want to get off to a good start, I don't think Hines can really afford to tinker with the lines or tinker with those three specifically.
I agree, and you got to give them a longer leash, I think, too. I mean, I think way too often last year, really in both coaching staffs, they were switching things around too much. I get it. Like, you can't stick with things forever and just have game after game go by, period after period go by, where things aren't working. But I do think you've got to be able to let them gel, let them get out there and play really well together. You'd like them to be really successful right off the jump. I think they can be. I think the potential for that is certainly there. But if, you know, the first game comes and goes and they don't have a point in the game, you can't just freak out and overreact at that point. You've got to have some sticking power to these lines. They were all sorts of out of whack last year and switching period to period, game to game, and they were playing with different people. It's really hard to build chemistry that way. One of the best parts about the team last year was that Bonino line, and it's largely because they were together for most of the year. They were able to develop that chemistry with Craig Smith and Rocco Grimaldi. So I think it's important that they give those times, those guys some time to gel. I don't think it will take very long for those guys to play at a high level. They've been practicing together for months now. I know that training camp just started, but it's not like they haven't been skating together. They should be fine, and I am. I'm expecting a bounce-back season from those three specifically.
So if the Jofa line is at the top of the depth chart at forward for the Preds, what will the rest of the depth chart look like? We'll get Robbie's insight on that, plus his thoughts on Mikal Granlund returning to the Nashville Predators kind of unexpectedly a couple weeks ago. We'll get Robbie's thoughts on that and Roman Yossi's thoughts as well. That's all coming up next on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show on this Monday evening. Preds Insiders, Ryan Porth and Robbie Stanley here with you, talking all things Preds. 10 days away from opening night between the Nashville Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Can't wait. Hockey is finally here around the corner as they hit the ice today for the first time for training camp. And the Preds also spoke with the media yesterday for the official start of training camp for this quirky 2021 NHL season. And one of the things that you brought up last week at thegamenashville.com, Robbie, was the importance of the Jofa line plus Matt Duchene and the pressure on those four forwards to live up to their potential this season. But specifically the Jofa line, where they were broken up for most of last regular season. We were kind of wondering why they were broken up last regular season, especially with how inconsistent that offense was. They were put back together in the qualifying round against Arizona, and you could tell instantly that they still had the chemistry. And listening to both Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg yesterday, it sounds pretty obvious to me that they want to be together again. And you, Robbie, asked Ryan Johansson about that line specifically and how important they are to the offense. Here's your question, and here's what Ryan Johansson had to say.
Obviously, I know that you and Philip and Victor, you'll play wherever the coaches want you to play, but how important is it for you guys to play together to start with this year and prove that what we saw in the play-in round against Arizona and how high of a level you guys were playing at is what you guys are and what you guys can continue to be moving ahead here?
Yeah, I think the three of us like setting the tone. We love playing together. We have a lot of trust and belief in one another, and I've done really well as a line and had lots of success. So I think the three of us, not sure the plan, and obviously whatever the plan is, we do our thing, go out there and be our best. But I think the three of us all would agree we'd love to start out the season together and kind of set the bar for our team and set the tone and go out and do our thing and try and help our team be as successful as possible.
That was Ryan Johansson yesterday on the opening day of training camp, speaking with the media. And Robbie, interesting words there, setting the bar, setting the tone for this Nashville Predators team and the offense. When the Jofa line hasn't been together in the last couple of years, there really hasn't been a line setting the bar or setting the tone for this entire team. It's almost been like, all right, one line looking at the other saying, okay, who's going to step up tonight?
Right.
Where when the Jofa line's together, you know they're going to step up. And in Ryan Johansson's words, set the tone. Thought those were some interesting words from him yesterday.
Well, I thought they were too. And I think kind of the most interesting part is how, I guess, bullish and open they were with the media of, yeah, we'd like to play together. Like, I think you saw that a little bit last year coming into the play-in round against Arizona. I do think it's important to see what those guys have right from the jump. Like, we just penciled it in that they're going to start the Jofa line together this year. I think that'll be the way they go about doing things, and I think it makes sense. But to hear them come out and say it like that, like, yeah, we would love to start together. Forsberg talked about, yes, we'd love to play together. That's what we want to do to start off the season here. I think that just kind of shows what mindset they're in. They know it. I mean, we had Philip Forsberg on, Robbie and Rex wrote a couple weeks ago, just talking about all four of those guys, and I'll put Duchesne in the mix too, they know wasn't good enough last year. And there are different factors at play. Like Arvidsson, I think, was hurt for most of the regular season. You saw what a fully healthy Victor Arvidsson looks like in Arizona. He was playing at a different speed than he was at any point in the regular season last year. That's important that he comes back in and that he's healthy and that he's ready to go. But for them to come out and say it that way, I think that's important. And setting the tone is a good phrase. I mean, that's what you need from not only that line, but I'll even put it specifically on Ryan Johansson. You need him to be the one setting the tone. He's the centerman. He's the one that's going to have the puck on his stick the most. He's the one in charge of driving the offense. I'll never forget, right after he signed his 8-year deal, that's the plural word buzzword that he kept using, is he's the driver of our offense. And he wasn't that last year. Not anywhere near enough. He got back to that in the play-in round. He's got to be that. I mean, to me, setting the tone begins and ends with Ryan Johansson. He's got to be the one that takes that responsibility on. So to hear him say that yesterday, I think if you're a Predators fan, is very encouraging. Now, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to go out there and do it. That's going to obviously be the next step. But to me, it just kind of feels like, and it has for a few months now, that those three guys have a chip on their shoulder. We'll see if Matt Duchesne does as well. But that's important, because if this team is going to be successful at all, they're going to have monster seasons. Maybe not career highs, but they're going to have monster seasons.
I don't really see a scenario where they wouldn't start the season together.
No.
I mean, you've got 10 days of training camp, and you're not practicing every single day in those 10 days. You've got basically a half or a third of the training camp that you usually do before a regular season. You don't have any true preseason games against other teams. The first time you're facing off against another team is next Thursday against Columbus, and it counts.
Yeah.
I think you absolutely have to have the Joffe line together, and we all know that those three together are all better individually because they're on the same line together. And when they aren't on the same line together, Forsberg doesn't look the same. Johansson certainly doesn't look the same.
Yep.
And this is not a knock on Arvidsson, but I feel like Arvidsson is a smidge more of a product of Johansson and Forsberg because of what those two collectively can do. And then Arvidsson kind of piggybacks off that and is very productive alongside those two. I just don't really see a scenario, especially with how productive they were in August, where John Hines opens this season without the Joffe line together.
I would agree. Like, I do think that there is something, and especially like going into camp last year, I think it was fascinating to see the way that they did it and that they deployed him, because I do think in a perfect world, you would like to spread it out a little bit more. Like, I think you'd like to have Forsberg playing with Duchesne. I think you'd like to have Arvidsson staying up with Johansson and maybe not seeing a huge drop-off when you do that. But the fact is, you just see a huge drop-off when you do that. So, look, it's no secret. I mean, those three guys complement each other really well. I mean, Johansson is such a gifted passer. Forsberg is the power forward who I think needs to add that part to his game a little bit more. But obviously, we know what he does. We know how gifted he is, the skill that he has, the goal-scoring ability. And Arvidsson, when he's healthy, his speed is an absolute weapon. I mean, those three complement each other really well. So I agree. Like, I don't envision a scenario outside of COVID or injury where they're not starting the season together.
Yeah.
I think really at this point, given the training camp situation, you'd almost be insane to try it. Like, just roll with it. See how it goes early on in the season. If you have to adjust from there, then you do it. But it's all about familiarity, especially in a time like this when you haven't played a whole lot of hockey together lately. You got to go back with what works. If I watched that play-in series against Arizona, I don't know how you couldn't start those three together. I think you have to.
I mean, they were really the only line out there
consistently
in those four games that was any threat offensively.
Yeah.
I mean, some other lines, the Smith, Bonino, Grimaldi line was effective for a lot of the time, but were they really ever a threat to score on a consistent basis? They had a lot of possession time in the offensive zone, but it's not like they were having all these different chances.
Right.
At the end of the day, the Joffe line is the straw that stirs the drink offensively. And if you want to get off to a good start, I don't think Hines can really afford to tinker with the lines or tinker with those three specifically.
I agree. And you got to give them a longer leash, I think, too. I mean, I think way too often last year, really in both coaching staffs, they were switching things around too much. I get it. Like, you can't stick with things forever and just have game after game go by, period after period go by, where things aren't working. But I do think you've got to be able to let them gel, let them get out there and play really well together. You'd like them to be really successful right off the jump. I think they can be. I think the potential for that is certainly there. But if, you know, the first game comes and goes and they don't have a point in the game, you can't just freak out and overreact at that point. You've got to have some sticking power to these lines. They were all sorts of out of whack last year and switching period to period, game to game, and they were playing with different people. It's really hard to build chemistry that way. One of the best parts about the team last year was that Bonino line, and it's largely because they were together for most of the year. They were able to develop that chemistry with Craig Smith and Rocco Grimaldi. So I think it's important that they give those guys some time to gel. I don't think it will take very long for those guys to play at a high level. They've been practicing together for months now. I know that training camp just started, but it's not like they haven't been skating together. They should be fine, and I am. I'm expecting a bounce-back season from those three specifically.
So if the Jofa line is at the top of the depth chart at forward for the Preds, what will the rest of the depth chart look like? We'll get Robbie's insight on that, plus his thoughts on Mikal Granlund returning to the Nashville Predators kind of unexpectedly a couple weeks ago. We'll get Robbie's thoughts on that and Roman Yossi's thoughts as well. That's all coming up next on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.